Shabbos daf test. So the Acharim had said earlier that a threshold functions as two domains. When the door is open, it's part of the Rishus HaYachid, part of the private domain. And when the door is closed, it functions as a public domain or Rishus HaRavim, meaning part of the outside. So this whole time we thought that this was talking about the door to the house and the threshold of a house, but now we're going to reinterpret it as this being part of a mavoi, which is basically a large alley. And the question is, how are you allowed to carry? Because there's no lechi, there's no side post. And Rav says that the area of a mavoi, meaning in our case the threshold, needs a lechi. And we only have a lechi with the door, but not the outer edge. So what are we saying? It's a little complicated. So what are we saying? Basically, the mavoi here is a giant alley that has three walls, and the fourth side is a door. And the door kind of splits the mavoi in half. So it's one large alley, and there's a door in the middle. The door cuts in half. When you walk through the door, that everything behind or past the door, when you walk through the door, you're allowed to carry it, no problem, because that functions as a regular mavoi. However, before you walk through the door, everything back there, you cannot carry in because the door is there, kind of splits up the mavoi, and you would require a lechi, especially on this threshold that we're talking about right by the door, you can't carry there. So again, how can we say that you could carry on this threshold? Because obviously the threshold is before the door, right? We said once you walk through the door, everything past walking through the door is fine to carry in. So how can you carry on the threshold? Because that's before you walk through the door. In front of the door, once you walk through the door, there you're allowed to carry. But the threshold is situated before you walk through the door. So how can you carry there without the lechi? So we try to say the threshold is not doesn't have the dimensions of 4x4 tefachim, so you don't need a lechi there. We said less than 4x4 tefachim is a makom putter, and we're going to say that, yeah, you don't need a lechi there to be able to carry on it. However, Rav says that even with an area that's less than 4x4, you still need a lechi to be able to carry, so we can't say that. So Yehuda Amar Rav answers, this is what we're dealing with. Basically, there's a korah, which is a crossbeam. A lechi is a vertical side post going standing straight up, and a korah goes across. So there's a korah that runs across the mavoi horizontally, and it's basically the korah is between the door and the threshold. So the threshold is between the korah and the door. So if you're walking through the mavoi towards the door, you walk through the mavoi, you pass under the korah, under the crossbeam, then you get to the threshold, and then you walk through the door. So we said once you walk through the door, you're allowed to carry no problem. However, the korah also functions as a lechi and allows you to carry. So how does this work? It's basically, when the door is closed, we just totally ignore the korah, the crossbeam that's above. Which means that when the door is closed, you cannot carry on the threshold, like what the Acharim are saying, you can't carry on the threshold because you can only carry once you walk through the door. However, when the door is open, then we pay attention to the crossbeam, and since the threshold is within the area of the crossbeam, because it's between the crossbeam and the door, then when the door is open, then it's fine, you're allowed to carry on the threshold. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda answers the question. Rav Ashi answers a little differently. He says, really, we're not talking about a mavoi. Forget that. We are talking about the threshold of a house, like we had thought. And basically, above the threshold, there are two korahs, two crossbeams, that neither of them have four tefachim. And for a crossbeam to be effective, it has to have four tefachim. And so these are too small to function on their own as crossbeams. However, they're within three tefachim of each other. And we know the concept of lavud, that when something is within three tefachim of it, we kind of join them together. So even though both of these crossbeams, for example, are three tefachim, since they're three tefachim apart, less than three tefachim apart from each other, we push them together and we view them as if they're a total of six tefachim, which would obviously be enough. However, the door closes right in between these two crossbeams. So when the door is closed, it separates the crossbeams, cutting them off. So we view them as two separate crossbeams, neither of which have the necessary dimensions to function as the halachic crossbeam status, and that's why you can't carry on the threshold, because there's no korah there. However, when you open the door, and now the crossbeams are not blocked or divided by anything, then we look at them as if they're fused together, and we view them as six tefachim wide, for example, and that's why you're allowed to carry in the threshold. Fine. So then the last part of that braisa says that if the threshold is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, then it's its own domain, and this supports Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who quotes Rabbi Meir, who says that whenever you have two distinct domains right next to each other, both in the Rishus HaYachid, which is just like our case where you have the threshold and the house, which are each two distinct domains, He brings in the case of a pillar that's 10 tzvachim by 4 tzvachim in a private domain. You're not allowed to adjust your load on it. Meaning, just like in our case, you're not really allowed to carry in the on the threshold. The chachila, you're not supposed to, you can't hand things between two different parties. You can't hand things from guys inside to outside. So just like if you have a pillar, which is its own private domain, within a private domain like the pillar, you can't adjust your load on it. Why? Because it's a gzera, lest you do the same thing in a public domain. Because if you have this pillar in a public domain, then if you adjust your load on it, then you're transferring from the public domain to the private domain, so we don't allow you to do it even in the private domain. The next Mishnah says that you're not allowed to get a haircut close to Mincha, which is a half hour before Mincha, before you daven. The same thing with going to the bathhouse, the tannery, eating, or judging a case. You can't do any of those things before you daven. If you started, though, you shouldn't stop that, but you do have to stop doing these things to say Kriya Shema, but you don't have to stop them to daven. So the Gemara says, which mincha are we talking about? Are we talking about mincha ketana or mincha gdola? This brings us back to brachos. Mincha ketana is the shorter mincha. Mincha gdola is the much longer mincha. So we answered, oh, must be mincha gdola. But that doesn't make sense, because if we're talking about mincha gdola, then you still have many hours that you have to daven mincha. So why are we freaking out? You know, there's still many hours left in the day to daven mincha. So it must be mincha ketana that we're talking about, because mincha ketana, you only have a very short amount of time before that time ends, and then you wouldn't be able to say mincha anymore. So this seems to disprove Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who says that once the time for mincha arrives, you're not allowed to taste anything before you daven. So seemingly, according to this, you would have to interrupt when the time for mincha ketana arrives if you were eating. However, our Mishnah says once the time for mincha arrives, you don't have to stop eating. You don't have to interrupt your meal to go daven. But we answer, no. Really, our Mishnah is talking about mincha gedola, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was talking about mincha ketana. And the reason that we're so worried in our Mishnah, even though you have so much time, is because the haircut is talking about the haircut of Ben Alasa, who it was a really, really long haircut, this whole process. Bathing is the full process of the bathhouse. The tannery is going to a large tannery, eating a large meal, judging from the beginning of the case. So basically, it's all these things that could take a really long time, and that's why we're so concerned, even by Mincha Gdola. However, Rav Acha bar Yaakov has a different interpretation. He agrees that we're talking about Mincha Gdola, but he says, no, really we're talking about just all normal cases. A normal haircut. However, we're worried that maybe the barber's scissors will break, and then I'll have to go look around for others, so we don't want you to start getting a haircut by Mincha Gdola. Bathing is even talking about only just a steam bath. However, we're worried you might faint and then you'll miss Mincha. The going to the tannery, the tanning house, even just to inspect it, not even to tan the leather, but just to inspect it because we're worried that you might find a flaw in your merchandise. Eating even just a small meal because you might come to just eat more and more. Judging a case even from the end of the case because we're worried that you might see a reason to change your verdict and therefore you'd miss Mincha. So Mishnah had said that you don't have to stop once you started these activities. So what's considered starting the activities? Rav Oven says starting a haircut is when you put the cloth on your lap. Rav Oven says starting the start of the bathing process is when you take off your clothes. The tannery is where you roll up your sleeves. The meal, according to Rav, it's where you wash your hands. According to Rav Chanina, it's where you unfasten your belt. However, they don't actually argue. Rav, who says washing your hands, is talking about an Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chanina, who says unfastening your belt, is talking about Bavel. Abai says, if you say Mariv is a Rishus, remember we had that Machlokas, is Mariv optional or is it an obligation? So if you say Mariv is optional, then once you've unfastened your belt and started eating your meal, then you would not have to go daven Mariv. However, we ask a question on this. So this seems to imply, if you say Mariv is obligatory, then even if you've unfastened your belt, you would have to go interrupt your meal and start davening. However, the Mishnah says, if you started your meal, you don't have to go daven mincha, right? We're talking about a marv now, but our Mishnah says you don't have to interrupt your meal to daven mincha. Rav Chanina says this is specifically talking about unfastening your belt. So why would Abai say, it seems from Abai that you would have to interrupt your meal to go daven marv, but the Mishnah straight up says you wouldn't have to interrupt your meal for mincha. So we bring two answers. The first is that by mincha, we're not worried you're going to get drunk at your meal. No one's really getting drunk at lunchtime because, you know, it's lunch. It's during the day. So we're going to let you eat your meal and then daven mincha. However, by marv, when it's dinner time, people like to drink then, and we're worried you might get drunk. So we'd rather you daven before your meal than after your meal when you might be drunk. The other answer is that mincha has a set time. So you're going to make sure to daven mincha. However, by marv, you'll say, oh, what's the hurry? I have all night to daven marv. I'm not so worried. I'll just, you know, take my time. And then you might come to, you know, fall asleep or miss the time entirely. So we want you to just go do it as soon as possible. However, Sheshes doesn't even understand this. He says, what are you talking about? It's not so hard to just put on your belt. Even if you don't want to put on your belt, just go daven without your belt. What's the big deal? Why are we getting so upset? Belt on, belt off. It's not a big deal. So the reason we care so much is because the pasuk says, Hakon likras alokacha Yisrael, prepare to meet your God, Bnei Yisrael, Hikon likras alokacha Yisrael, prepare to meet Hashem, Bnei Yisrael, that you should be prepared when you're going to daven to Hashem, and that includes wearing a belt, and that's why we care so much. Shkoyach.